Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Stop yelling.
I'm drawing attention to the man peeing into the hot wind.
The figure turns and looks over his shoulder, and he has this unnerving smile on his face.
The Russell special.
Hi! I didn't know. Sometimes there's good people who come down here, and they're like, I'm a goody-goody two-shoes. I don't want to hurt anybody or carry soul coins.
Oh, you see, we are good people, but we can kill as many people as we want in order to further our goodness.
Mm-hmm. To save the world.
I mean, we're trying to save the world here, so we kind of have to, like, do some stuff to make
it happen. Gotta break a couple eggs.
And I like you. I like you all. Come with me. Race me down the hill. And he tears off down the hill towards the war machines down at the bottom.
Oh my god, I'm not running down this hill, you guys.
It's okay. You can ride on the back of my steed that I'm gonna summon. Oh no, it's a casting time of 10 minutes.
We
don't have that kind of time.
We get to the bottom, your steed arrives.
Wait up! I'm coming!
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him, also with me today is Carla Maxted.
I knew you were going to pick me because I wasn't really ready. She, her, playing Lipsinky Pip Diggins, also she, her.
And Amy Moore.
Second again. Always a bridesmaid. She, her, playing
the other. And one time a bride.
Yeah. One time.
I mean, there was that one time. I thought it was pretty good.
Shut up, you guys. I'm trying to do my intro.
Sorry, who do you play?
I play Thea Amastasia, she, her, and Night Hunter, she, they.
And Tom Laird.
Hey, that's me, he, him, and I am playing Flint, who also goes by he, him.
And Kyle Classett.
Hey, yo, he, him, and I'm going to be playing Varanox, also he, him.
Kyle's here, and it's really exciting, even though, yep. Is he a regular cast member? Maybe. We tried to make him come to the Goog Hang.
There's only one place you can find out if I'm a regular cast member. Russ, where is that?
Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast, where Kyle pops up in all the things, like Dungeons Downtime. He was in an interlude.
For an episode he wasn't even
for
in.
For an episode he wasn't even a part of.
I did that.
Had a different guest star entirely.
We might time those things to line up, but no, we don't, because that's how we roll here.
Nah.
Who's on the call? What do we need for tomorrow? But when you are a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you. Like today's patron, Maggie.
Thanks, Maggie.
Oh, Maggie.
Thank you so much.
Dame Maggie Smith. Wow, I never thought that she'd be a patron for our podcast.
Amazing. Oh, and I was going to be singing some Rod Stewart.
Oh, also great.
Also
singing
good choice.
Some Bob Dylan.
Oh.
So many famous Maggies are patrons of
but
ours.
But you're our favorite.
But you are our favorite.
100%.
Tried and true.
Thanks, Maggie.
Join us today at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, just like Maggie. All the Maggies. But this one specifically. And now, fuck it! Let's play! You've just hurled yourself down the brambling, bony hill down towards Smiler as he is tearing down on his war machine towards the unsuspecting victims of your upcoming Grand Theft Auto. You land down at the bottom.
think that was 7. Maybe. We'll see. And you find yourselves in these skeletal bushes down off the side of the road, quote unquote, as Smiler tears out into the center to flag down this oncoming envoy, which is of one... Which one did you want? The demon grinder?
Yeah.
Demon grinder, this huge war machine with these massive bony jawed teeth that come off the front of it. You can see that there is a huge cab and these razor sharp wheels, 3 sets of them all along it. Hanging off the back is this pivoting, swinging wrecking ball. Alongside them are 3 of that appear very similar to the one that Smiler is riding, called Devil's Ride. They're more motorcycle-esque and can hold a couple people or a couple individuals. And they are slowing down as they are proceeding to Smiler, who you hear is just waving, "Hey, everybody, just come on over. I just got something to tell you. Come on, just come in close." So as they are slowing and the engines are still revving quite heavily, you see a couple red caps hop off the two of the motorcycles and making their way over to Smiler.
What if some of you try to sneak around the back of the machine and I can try to take these red caps out with my arrows? Anyone else have a bow?
I was thinking I could just like look through the machine and see how many are in there.
Fuck yeah, do that, Lipsinky.
So I'm going to use my ghostly gaze. I can see through solid objects with the dark vision. I just want to see how many folks are inside that machine that we're, just so we know what we're dealing with.
That is such a great idea.
Okay. You're looking inside the large one. On the outside, there are 3 red caps piloting the smaller ones. On the back, there are these... they look very similar to the red caps, but it's like their cap has like melted to their face and their eyes are just always open and they have these jagged teeth and they're like spinning and twirling this sharp scythe blade in their hand as they're waiting.
They're going to say baton.
They're spinning and twirling their on fire batons as if they are.
That's pretty cool.
And there's one who's like playing the devil sticks as he's doing his thing.
Exactly. You look through the war machine, which is a really cool thing that I didn't know you could do, but now you're doing it, and it's amazing. Piloting one of those is another red cap. There are 3 other of the weird-looking, red-cappy type folks. And then inside, like, crammed into it, is this... make a roll...
Just
dinner. cinnamon.
Probably like either history or I guess nature would be relevant to you because you spent a lot of time in really gross and yucky places. So nature is a skewed kind of perspective to you.
I mean, they're both +2, so whatever. 20.
You look inside and you see what you could describe as a flesh golem creature. It is a large creature. It's like hunched over inside the back of this vehicle. It's stitched together of different body parts from devils and demons, and like there's these weird tentacles that kind of come off one side of it. It's got like this drooped, like beaten up kind of face to it, and it's like rocking back and forth inside this large machine. So.
Can we get a total?
So 11 total.
That's not 8.
Well, he said there'd be 8 in the big one.
It's true.
So really, there's 5 in the big
one. Yeah, I was going to say there's only 5 in the big one. So really, we're fine.
It'll be fine.
But there's now 2 there? He's flagged 2 down?
There's 1 big machine.
Yeah.
There are 3 motorcycle machines.
Oh, I get you.
Oh, damn.
Posse.
Plus his.
I thought they were on like the outside of the machine, kind of like on the.
No, so there are
dock. I don't know.
4 vehicles.
4 potential stealing machines, mm-hmm. machines to be stolen, other than Smiler's.
Gotcha.
Guys, I've got good news and bad news. Which do you want? Okay, so the good news.
Good news. Yeah.
Okay, so the good news. There's only 5 inside there.
Oh, that's positive.
So
I mean, that is good news.
That's good news. I mean, the bad news is that one of them is like a flesh golem. So it's basically the most disgusting thing you've probably ever seen. I mean, maybe not you, Grancis, because I know you saw some shit down in the abyss.
I've been a flesh golem once.
Yeah, it's kind of pieced. It's gross, and I am going to warn you, it probably smells very bad.
Yeah, like eggs and watermelon.
Well, I mean...
Anyway...
out of everything that could smell bad, those are two foods.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Okay.
Combined? Wait, I don't want to know. Why am I asking?
No. Let's stay focused, people.
But I still love your plan. Like, we should sneak up and then... what are the points of egress into this machine, Russ? I'm picturing a tank, but you have not said that.
No, I haven't said that. So
it's like a tank.
It's like a tank. So there is one on top. There appears... you haven't really gone around the back. Maybe you have. You would be able to see straight through. It's all good. There appears to be an entrance not directly out the back, because that's where the swinging ball is, but like often to the side near the back, there is a larger door. So there's one door at the very back and then one from the top.
Well, whatever our plan is, I know that I can offer a little bit of help. So I'm going to cast, I'm going to go ahead and get us set up with Bless at a... How many people I need to bless right now?
Six players.
I'm just picturing like you get a bless, you get a bless, you get a bless.
That's exactly it. You nailed it.
Yeah, there's six player characters plus Donnie.
All right, so let me do fifth level. That should get me everybody in our group now has bless.
What does that do?
It's real good.
Whenever you make an attack or a saving throw before the spell ends, which is a minute long, you can add a d4 to the rolled attack or saving throw.
Nice.
Yes.
All right. I've got ranged attacks. I can stay here, take care of some a-holes on the outside if some heavy hitters want to go in and, you know, I mean, they're kind of trapped in there, right? What if you threw fire in there?
We could do that.
Just saying. Get creative with it.
Oh, I've got an idea. I've got this fun little thing. I can at least eliminate one of their points of egress. So if there's a door, I've got this nifty little rod, and I pull out an immovable rod, click it, stays in space. Just like, we just put that in front of it, then they have only one way to go out.
I like it. Let's do that.
I'm not sneaky, as we found out earlier. Would somebody be more... Would somebody want to
I can
try
do
to take
this.
Oh.
Press here, or press... What
yeah,
button?
You just... Click the end of it and leave it where you want it. Click the end and then to let go.
And they cannot pass through?
Well, it's immovable. So nothing's moving it unless you... Again, and...
Wait, does the door swing in or out?
It is magic, right? I do not generally like magic, but this is good.
I don't know, Grancis.
It's valid, because if it swings in and you put a bar in front of it, then they're just going to...
No, but then they cannot pass through where this is.
Oh, they...
Yes, it creates a door that is not
there.
Has there
ever been a vehicle where the door swings that isn't a hatch at the top?
It's quite a small area in there. They're pretty jammed in. So if it pulled in, it'd be... I mean, I don't know the design standards here or what sort... But it...
Look, I'm just trying to solve for problems that don't exist.
Better yet, instead of putting it in front of the door, we could put it behind one of, or in front of one of their wheels, and then they won't be able to drive off if they get the urge to do so.
Oh, that's a good idea too.
Now that's how you rose through the ranks. That's why you became my mentor and best friend. Because you're
smart. I was looking at this fun thing. Where do you want me to place it?
On the door.
No, we're changing that. Put it in front of one of their wheels, so if they try to move forward, they won't be able to. Now, if they move back, that's a different story, but...
Maybe it's not equipped with a reverse function. You're always moving forward in hell.
And then you do U-turns.
Yeah. Constant U-turns, left turns, when it's least convenient for anybody else.
Okay, we'll do this now.
Okay.
And Night Hunter sneaks off to go around, because obviously you can't just beeline it for the front. There are other
There are other entities and creatures observing the front.
Yeah, so they're going to just try to be super sneaky.
Okay, so Night Hunter sneaking around. Roll me a sneak check, stealth check.
Oh, fuck me. No. But then I can add... Hold on.
Can add a bless thing.
I can add a bless thing.
Which is plus D4.
All right. That's a 12.
Well, 12's not that bad. It's hell. There's a lot of things happening in hell.
It's not that bad. I suppose these machines are like...
Oh, yeah. They scream with the power of soul.
Well, fantastic then. Under the cover of soul screams... I fly.
You're sneaking around to one of the rear wheels, presumably?
Yeah, I'm not going to put it... Oh, here we go. I'm not actually going to place it in front of their front tires. I'm going to place it in front of one of their back tires. That way, if they try to go forward, they can't. And if they try to reverse, they can't.
Because it's stuck between the wheels. Thinking. All right. So Night Hunter's there. Where does everybody else want to be?
As far as using, like, clock directions, which one has the easiest ingress? Like, getting there quick is like 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
They're all at 12 o'clock because we're back in a push.
Sorry, you're looking for which door to run to?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, just to run up to it in general.
Let's say 8 o'clock. Everybody give me a little like action montage description of you getting into position. Okay, so Night Hunter, you're going to go place the immovable rod at the rear tire so that if they back up, move forward.
Exactly.
Okay. Varanox and Lipsinky, where are you going
to
be?
Sneaking up to the left-hand side. I look back at Lipsinky, not sure exactly, because we haven't gotten too many chances to work with each other yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I just start moving because I'm used to it, and then I look back at Lipsinky like...
And big thumbs up. Yes, and I think what Lipsinky's going to do is use Sharpie, because I haven't used Sharpie in a long time. But Sharpie can actually be used, like, essentially as a grappling hook from the bracer. So I'm going to do that so that I can get up onto the top, because I do want to open that hatch and do something down into them. That seems like, you know, they're kind of trapped in there.
Let's, like, put you just up on top then. Yeah.
So right. That's my plan, is just, like, grapple my way up there. Step one. Okay. She hasn't figured out what step two is yet, but...
Yeah, well...
It will present itself to her.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Love it. Thea and Flint, from the side, maybe a little your game plan for each of yourselves.
Well, Thea, I think, has already given her spiel about, like, I'm going to stay here. And then Grantsa starts to move, like, as Varnox and Lipsinky and them, like, start to move toward the thing. And she, like, straight up grabs him by the scruff of the back of his collar neck.
Whoa.
And is like, you sit down. You stay here with me.
Oh, okay.
God.
Yeah, I'll stay here.
Okay, we're going to try
Flint's going to stay here, too, with us. Keep us company.
Oh, no. Flint is going to go hit people really hard.
All right, you still do that, do you?
Yes, he does.
Flint's just strong.
I mean, I'm already down by the vehicle. I don't know.
Russ wanted this scene before he went.
That's
Look,
cool.
He's already gone.
He's already gone. He's already left.
Who are you even talking to? Grant's worried about
you. He didn't
even
say goodbye.
Okay. What we need to do is we need to quietly try to take out some of these...
Why are you talking so loud?
I'm not. You're... my whole plan is, you see those two that are walking up to Smiler? I want all this chaos to happen behind their backs so that they don't turn around.
Okay.
We're going to kill.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Sorry, hell does weird things to your vocal cords. It makes them really clear, and then they drift back out.
I don't like it. Quiet. Let's just not talk anymore.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time.
Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
As everybody gets into position and readies themselves as best they can, Smiler's kind of watching everything, drawing the attention back towards himself from the red caps who are in front of him as the random noises are made so that hopefully you make it to your position as smoothly as possible. And then yells, and then she says to him, she says, now!
As she hears Smiler yell, now, she will let loose an Eldritch Blast. So a beam of, this time, red crackling energy streaks towards these creatures. Four beams crackle out from her hands. And as she aims for the four dudes on the cool motorcycles.
We're trying to disrupt them on the motorbikes.
Indeed.
All right. Awesome. Give me some rolls.
So that's 5 damage for the first, 4 for the second, 3 for the third. Who wants to guess what the next one's going to be? Oh, it's a 4.
Good.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This sucks. And then... That's right. I remember that I've got multiple actions.
Ooh.
She is going to take her oath bow, but she's not going to whisper to it. She's just going to use it as a bow. That's possible, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to.
You don't get the bonus that it gives when you do the whisper, but yeah, you just use it as a bow, right?
The bonus.
That's a 25.
Yeah, absolutely.
6 plus 2.
Okay.
And that one is going for the one that is closest to the bushes.
Okay. So, yeah, one of the red caps who is talking to Smiler at this time.
Oh, sure. Yes.
The above the bushes. 4 Eldritch Blasts ring out and crackling energy through the air and knocks all of these creatures off of the devil's ride that they're on. They're blasted back and off. An arrow zips through the air towards one of them and impales in its shoulder, lets out just this hideous scream as it reaches for its scythe. Flint.
Am I able to, like, rip open one of these doors and hop in this tank?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it.
Okay, you tear open the door. It sticks a little bit. It's a little awkward at first, but then it rips open.
You gotta give it like an up and an open at the same time.
And as you open it, staring straight at you is this huge flesh golem, as was described by Lipsinky. It's got these. Now that it starts to slowly look up at you and opens its mouth, and the jaw hangs loose.
and it's got these sharp teeth, and like this tentacle begins to move out towards you to try and grab onto you. What do you do?
I am going to attack that tentacle as it tries to come at me.
What are you hitting it with?
Probably my battle axe.
Axe swings out.
How big is the interior of this? If we were to go inside of it, would our like movements be impeded at all? Like, Flint's at the door.
Yes.
But I'm just wondering, if he were to step inside, would he have room to swing an axe?
Yeah, it's pretty
roomy, y'all.
Would I be better served to go like the longsword, though?
Probably, yeah. Like, coming up and over is going to be an issue. Like, you know, a side swipe. Would be more advantageous because of this large creature in there. It is slightly cramped, but you'd imagine that it's pretty spacious for normal sized individuals.
Well, we'll do moist tongue longsword then.
Been so long.
I know.
Moist. and I'll deal some damage with that bad boy. So I have 3 attacks per action, Russ.
Okay.
38?
Yes. Holy shit.
How much of that's cold?
All of the 2d6, so 18 of it.
38, so 20 is wait. Not.
20. My math is...
Math is hard.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 38. Yeah, 18. 18 of it's cold.
The cold begins to crystallize the skin, but it doesn't... Not in the same way that you were used to. You are now... blocking the door, essentially, unless you choose to move.
I'll probably like make sure I get 1 or 2 steps into this thing.
Flint steps in and to the side. Night Hunter. Mm. So you are, I guess you are placing the immovable rod. That is your mode in this one, yes?
Can I place it and then sneak up the front of the machine? Okay, I want to do that.
Okay, yeah, you place the immovable rod. You push the button as described. Doesn't seem to be able to move. You try and give it a little shimmy.
I'm like, fantastic technology.
As advertised. And then you move up to the front of the machine where you see 3 of these madcaps trying to like climb back up to their feet. And then the red cap scrambling to get their weapons in front of them. Varnox.
Seeing as Flint and Lipsinky have the tank going down, I am going to run up to the guy in the... that's standing next to the left motorcycle, leftmost motorcycle.
Yep.
I'm going to run up drawing my my sword of vengeance, and I'm going to exclaim out, "In the name of good, you will die today." And I'm going to give an attack.
Love it. So yeah, like everybody else, we can just roll some damage for this one.
All right, so that is 11 slashing magical slashing damage, and I'm going to burn a divine smite.
Okay.
And do 2d8 extra of radiant damage. 9 radiant damage on top of that.
So 20 in total.
And is it a fiend?
It is a small fae.
Fae, okay.
Fae, yeah. Cool, so cool. Not a fiend. I mean, I didn't tell you what it was. It's not a fiend, though.
Fair enough, yeah.
You take a huge chunk into it, and because it's like... prone, you as you get closer, you see that the boots on it have this huge, like, hooked blade on them. But you cut down into it and lets out a cry.
It looks forward into
it's
the
it's a scream cry,
and like falls limp. Like you manage to like stab through the heart of this thing, and shut this one down.
It's dead. Oh, good. Then I'm going to use the rest of my movement to move up to the middle one, right behind the gray one, and do another attack.
Awesome.
So that's going to be 13 magical slashing damage and 13 radiant damage.
Again, because of its prone position and your ability to sneak up on it before it has a chance to guard itself, you can kill this creature as you see fit.
Murderously. It's like,
and another for you. In the name of good, impale.
He's over there like, oh, doing good feels so good.
I'm enjoying this.
Thea's concerned, just watching from the bushes like, oh no.
Yeah, this is not what we had in mind. But
so did he kill that other one too?
Yeah, he's killed 2.
We go to Lipsinki now.
So when I lodged Sharpie in there as a grappling hook, I would like to submit that I can then pull, because there is a whole thing about using it for attacks, to pull that lid off.
Okay, yeah.
And once I do that, luckily I noticed my friend Flint go in there, so I won't do the thing that I was originally going to do. But instead, I think I will just Eldritch Blast, because that does four beams, which okay. I'll do the extra one into Big Grosso.
Like
does that
it.
Make sense? Yeah.
Big Grosso.
Sure. Yeah, Big Grosso. So that is... Damn. So... Two nines, a four, and a three.
Damn.
The interior of this tank creates, lights up with the beams coming from your Eldritch Blast. Flint, they like zip by you and over your shoulders and strike into this huge creature in front of you, who is like blown back into the side, and the entire thing rocks. Lipsinki, make a dexterity saving throw, please.
Not great. Do I still have that bless from before?
You still have a D4 for bless, yep.
No.
That's good for a minute.
So that's going to put me at a 12.
Your foot slips and you fall off the side and down towards one of these razor sharp blades.
Okay. I'm still holding on. No, I'm not. That's a lie. I was going to say I'm still holding on to Sharpie, but Sharpie... threw a lid off, so Sharpie is no longer attached to the machine. Damn it!
So you're gonna land on your side, and it's gonna cut deep into you, and you're gonna take 8 slashing damage landing on this tire. Mm-hmm. This razor blade. Hey, Grancis.
Thea, it's been a while. What should I do?
You should hit them with a spell, but not like one of your awesome spells. You like save those for Orcus, but like hit them with like a mediocre spell.
Oh, do we think we're going to fight Orcus like next?
I don't know.
What if there's no time to rest in between now and right. then?
That's
well,
my concern.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I haven't had a time to rest in quite a while. What about Call Lightning? Does that seem like it'd be pretty cool?
I mean, yeah, sure, maybe.
Okay, cool.
A storm cloud begins to appear as he is... Oh, that's a duration. I was like, oh, shit, casting time, 10 minutes. Goddamn, what is this, Feinstein? But no, it's casting time.
What is the point of this
action? Duration, 10 minutes. A storm cloud appears above the machine. In the shape of a cylinder, 10 feet tall, 60-foot radius, centered on a point I can see. When cast, I choose a point I can see in the cloud. A bolt of lightning flashes down to the cloud. Each creature within 5 feet of that point must make a dexterity saving throw.
Hey, maybe instead of over top of that, go over top of the guys on the motorcycles.
Oh, yeah, that's probably
a
really
good
idea.
Move your cloud over just to the left a little bit.
Oh, but Faradox is there. Oh, fuck it.
He'll be okay.
Yeah, he'll probably position it above the two that are near Smiler. Fuck it. They're going to take it. 3d10. You want to roll 3d10
yeah,
for me?
Yeah, you want me to roll that?
Sure.
3, 8, 5.
16. The two that are nearest Smiler, the two red caps, are finally back up to their feet, and they hold up their sides, and it connects with this lightning blast that like riddles down through their body, and like you can see their skeleton like fitting in and out. And it stops, and there's smoke coming up from the top of their heads, and they just fall over.
See, like riding a bike.
Oh, it felt good. Now we got this cool storm action.
Okay, we're back up to the top. Smiler's going to have a turn. He's going to hop on his vehicle. And it appears that he is driving away.
Well, not surprised.
I love this guy.
Really nice to see ya. Have fun in your vehicles. And he tears off. Hey everybody, it's me, your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. I've just recorded several of these middles, and I keep getting a little retrospective and sappy in them. So I don't know if that's what we need for this episode. It's Grand Theft War Machine,
And we're very excited because a couple things. You may have noticed some release schedules are off. If you're all caught up, you're like, hey, hey, Russ, I want to know what happens next. And we want to tell you. World's busy. Got to make sure that we take care of ourselves. And we're putting out content as fast as we can. But know in the background, we are still recording every Tuesday, like we do. And we are working towards some pretty big events that I can't tell you about. But it's very exciting. Big things are happening. Things that I didn't expect. Which is the case for most of Dungeons & Dragons, which is why it takes us so long to get places. But we have so much fun, and we've got so much coming your way, and we want to share it with you. I just can't put them out fast enough. So don't worry. We are working ahead and planning and making sure that this is the biggest, most epic thing that we're working towards that we've ever done. If you're like, hey, I am caught up. I need more episodes. I need to know what's going on. You can come join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast, where, I mean, we are a patron-supported as well as advertiser-supported, but primarily patron-supported show that has allowed us to continue recording. My computer just died a few weeks back, and I had to go out like same day and get a new computer, which I was only able to do because of our patrons. So thank you. Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast. Whole bunch of content over there. Like, I'm looking at the list, like more than 250 episodes. So look at your main feed where there's more than 250 episodes. Double it. That's how much content we've got over there for you, which includes a whole bunch of downtimes from season two and an entirely original and exclusive podcast that we've got. We're deep into season four over there. I'm pretty sure Tom's working towards a season five, but we'll see how it goes. You know, we're not rushing anything. That's not what we do here. So we hope to see you over there in the Patreon community. People are joining the Discord every day, and we can't wait for you to join us. But we'll get you back to this episode now. Thank you for listening, and thank you for considering joining us on Patreon. You have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Is there anyone still alive?
There are two on the outside that are still alive, a red cap and a mad cap. There is still the big grotesque thing, as well as... what did I say? Three mad caps inside and a red cap.
Yep.
So five more creatures inside the vehicle that are still alive. Inside the big vehicle.
Cool.
Thea, we're back to you.
All right. Thea is going to Eldritch Blast the two on the outside twice. Okay. So they're each going to get two beams.
Awesome.
My first one is a 19.
That will hit.
Second one's a 19.
Okay.
Third one's a 15.
You got a D4 on Bless.
15 hits, yep.
Oh, dear. And the next one is an 11, and I'm going to use that D4. What is it? Oh, shit. I think it's a 2. 13.
13 does not hit.
Ah, okay. So, 3... Two to the yep. one in the middle and one to the other one on the side.
More Elf Blast fires across the landscape. Two right in front of you, Varanox, at the one that you, the one that's in front of the one that you just murdered.
11 damage.
And as they are standing back to their feet, are blasted back again, knocked to the ground. Varanox, you hear them specifically. They're like, ah, son of bitch! God damn it! I'm gonna get them! They don't appear to be dead yet. They are like, there's
they're
like
being
huge,
too sassy for
huge
me.
Scorch and burn marks all over their flesh.
Weirdly, it's all Thea's name in cursive.
That's right. Yeah, it's a brand. Yeah. The red cap's turn. He's going to stand up, which is going to take half of his movement, which is only 25, so that's going to take 12. But then look around and charge towards you, Varanox, for
cool
red cap. Has a multi-attack. Three attacks with its wicked sickle.
Bring it.
Wicked sickle. Move a speed. Yeah,
like it'd a sticky
have to
wicket?
Run further.
Sticky wicket, yeah.
First attack. 10.
No.
Second attack. 25.
That will hit, yeah.
Third attack. 19.
That does not hit.
Okay. So that's going to be 9 slashing damage from the one that hit you. And it comes up, it's just like flailing its sickle, and the second one cuts into your arm where there's a little...
clearance in your armor.
All right. Let's react with a little hellish rebuke.
Ooh, that one was on my list, wasn't it?
It was.
It was.
Okay. Cool beans. What happens?
He hellishly rebuked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory.
I'm just doing it at first level.
Okay, cast Hellish Rebuke and tell me what normally happens.
Well, the creature must make a dexterity saving throw if it takes 2d10 fire damage on a failed or half as much on a success.
Dex save plus a 1, that's a 15.
That does not beat my DC of 20.
Of 1 million.
Ah, I was so close. Okay.
Dang it.
So he's going to take some damage, which still happens.
That'd be 15 fire damage in total.
And can you roll me a d6, please?
I certainly can. That's a 5.
Okay. You cast Hellish Rebuke. Flames are burning up all around him. He's screaming out in pain and drops dead. But in the remnants of the flame, 5 imps pop out of the flames, look around, and move to charge towards you.
Sweet.
I'm going to roll them into initiative. They go...
Never-ending combat. Never-ending combat.
Oh, God, don't do that again.
Yeah, that's more of a Patreon game thing, Russ. Stop stealing my thing.
I will not. They're going to go next, actually.
Cool.
So 5 imps coming towards you. They attack with stings, bites in beast form. No, it's going to be a sting. Here we go. Let's see if I can beat your AC with 1. That's a 10.
No.
2. 23.
Oh, yes.
Another 10. Uh-huh. Oh, nat 20.
Ooh.
Which is make 25 and a 9. So that's 2. So the first one, you get 5 piercing damage. Please make a constitution saving throw. I think you can probably beat it without even rolling, if I remember correctly.
Well, I mean, I got a 9, so you tell me.
Oh, you didn't.
Yeah.
So you also take 10 poison damage.
I'm immune. Oh, wait, no, I have a resistance against poison, so that'd be only 5.
All right, so you're going to take 5 poison damage, and then you're going to take double on the next one, so you're going to take another 10 piercing damage and another constitution saving throw.
Okay. Oh, 25.
That one succeeds, so you're only going to take half, so you're going to take another 10 poison damage, half, you're going to take another 5.
Okay.
The madcaps inside Flint charge towards you. There are 3 of them. They're the ones that look like they... The hats have melted into their face.
I would probably also be angry if that was my lot.
They don't look happy.
I mean, you are covered with scabs, so your lot in life is not great either at the moment.
Fair. Forgot about that.
So they each have 3 swings with their wicked sickles. So I'm going to roll 3 d20s. So that's plus 13, 14, 14 for the first one. Nothing.
No.
Oh boy. 12, 13, 14 for the second one. Wow.
No. You are rolling my dice.
18, 25, 11.
18 does not hit, so the 25.
So just 1. So you're going to take 9 slashing damage. Like all of these 3 creatures, and they're small, so they're like 2 or 3 feet coming at you, just swinging their sickles as quickly as they can towards you. Only one of them manages to catch skin, which catches like an exceptionally scabby part, and it really just feels extra bad. Like, it's not a huge amount of damage, but yeah, it just like begins to pus too.
I hate it.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's because it's hell. Okay. Flint.
Let's turn that back around. Let's turn the beat around. And we'll attack all those weird red cap face boys.
Awesome. So you got 3 of them in front of you. We'll name them 1, 2, and 3.
All right. Well, let's attack them in that order. All
right.
I'll roll all my d20s. That's a 24.
Yep.
That's the exact same. All right. And then that is a 17.
All of those will hit.
9 for number 1, 11 for number 2, and 12 for number 3.
Yeah, you hit them, and the blood is like, well, not even blood, it's like this black, blackish red ichor that's flowing down onto the floor of this, of the machine. They are knocked down. They are all 3 are prone. They are writhing on the floor in front of you. You're in the machine. Anything else you can or would like to do?
I mean, I guess I could use my second attack action.
Oh, right. You got a second attack action.
Yeah. Yeah, I sure do.
So, there's three writhing on the ground, not looking too much of a concern, and then the big boy.
Well, they're all out of the way. I'll go back to focusing on the big boy.
Sorry, also one in the driver's seat.
Now, but he isn't driving anywhere. Like, we are still stationary?
You are still stationary, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, then I will leave him for the time being.
Okay.
All right. So to hit the big guy, first one was a 21, second is a 17, third is a 12. It's about as bad as it gets.
All of those will hit.
Okay.
He's not a hypermobile, big, fleshy blob of grossness.
Perfect. 13 on the first one, 12 on the second, and 9 on the third. So 34.
Wowzers.
Yeah, carving into this creature before you. You don't kill him, but describe the scene as it's playing out, as you are in like this essentially shoebox with all of these monsters and creatures that you're carving up.
Yeah, it's kind of a, like, you know, have you ever been for like Benihana? it's kind of like that. There's a lot of like, a lot of sword tricks, a lot of form I got going on here, dicing into little bits, flipping things up, you know.
Catching body parts under your hat, then revealing
it. Yeah, you know,
it,
in the pocket, all that stuff. It's all good.
Awesome. Night Hunter, your turn.
Okay, so Night Hunter has moved to the front. There, how many are still alive? Like one next to Arnox?
No, and that then, one's dead too.
That one's dead too. Okay, well then Night Hunter is going to crawl or climb up the side of the big vehicle and see what the party is going on.
So you, as you're climbing up, you see Lipsinky, who's fallen onto one of these blades.
Oh, I want to help her. I reach down and I like pull her off a blade. Are you all right, small friend?
Oh, I mean, I've been better, but really I just want to get in there.
Oh, I can give you a lift.
Thank you.
I throw her up.
Do you climb up after too as well?
Yes.
You throw Lipsinky up. Lipsinky, do you want to land inside the
Maybe,
machine?
Maybe like do a tuck somersault or?
Sure. I mean, I guess there is an open hole at the top where I pulled the lid off. So yeah, let's just hope there's no spinning blade right where I land. I guess I know there's not because I looked through the machine, so.
Fly up into the air and land down inside the machine, and Flint is just like tearing up everything inside. Night Hunter, you climb up and follow behind. You yep. are able to get inside as well.
I turn around and see the driver.
You would be able to see the driver. Yeah.
All right. I want to attack the driver with my with Corpse Grinder.
He turns around and like catches your eye as you swing as he sees your axe swinging down on top of him.
26.
Yes.
Oh my god, max damage. Yay.
That's what's up.
19.
Yeah, it was
Straight hit to like, I mean, there's really only one place to hit him based on how the cockpit's built. You're going to hit him in the face. So your axe cleaves down into his head. And like into the back of the seat that he's sitting in, and like sticks back out, like almost like swings back down towards you. Yeah, it's pretty gross.
But I mean, Amy says, "Ew." Night Hunter has an enormous smile on their face, and they turn around. And am I now faced with the back of this gross big blob monster?
Yeah, there's like a weird dance happening around. So like Lipsinky's kind of between the two of you, but Flint is like mushed to the side, like just like stabbing into it.
I want to like soccer mom arm Lipsinky to the side as I swing Corpse Grinder down onto the back of this flesh golem.
Awesome.
Oh, no. 19.
Still
I don't know why
hits.
I said oh, no yep. for that. And... Oh my god, max damage again.
Oh my god.
19.
A hideous demonic like wail echoes out in this space. your axe is lodged deep within the flesh of this golem. Varnox.
So I got all these imps around me.
Yes.
And I just look around and I look at them and I say, today you will fall to the will of ordinary people doing good things. And I'm going to cast Thunderstep. And I'm going to teleport myself to the top of the tank. Okay. And they need to make a constitution saving throw, DC 20, or take 3d10 thunder damage.
I mean, I'm going to give them all a try.
On a failed and half on a success.
Yeah, no, they all failed. One of them extra miserably with a nat 1.
Fantastiche. Let's see. That is 12 thunder damage in total, and that thunder can be heard up to 300 feet away.
It echoes out across the plains, and they all like explode as soon as it hits them. In this fiery, gory mess. All five of them are dead as you land back up on top of the machine.
I can kind of gauge the situation that's going on inside.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so the last thing left is this big thing.
Just the one big thing left.
I think this
has it even ever gotten a turn once.
Yeah, once. Not even. So let's give it a turn. Just see what
just for fairies' nest.
Just can see what
that
it can do.
Wasn't what I was.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's more of a ha ha.
I mean, it's just a big.
I'm a big
it's
gross
just a big
monster.
Punchy guy. So it's gonna make just two slam attacks at Flint. It doesn't. I think the highest one was a 15 there.
Yeah, that won't do it.
Yeah, so it's just trying to like get position in this place. But all of you at this point, like how I picture this scene kind of playing out is like Varanox climbs in and shuts the door behind him, and there's just it rocks back and forth until there's just like a splat across all the windows.
Thea and Grancis are just watching from the outside.
Yeah.
Just being like, I wouldn't want to be that thing.
No. Yeah, they should have built the doors a little bit bigger. Maybe it could have gotten out.
God, do you think... Oh, it's going to be everywhere.
Yeah, no, it's gotten into everything. Like, everybody's going to have...
That's going to need some detailing.
They probably don't have baths down here.
This is not good. Do you think there's, like, a squeegee or something? Can't even see out those windows anymore.
Lipsinky, there's a big hand that wipes across the front, and I picture Lipsinky like just giving a big wave from inside as everybody climbs into the machine and like rolls out as much of the gross that's in there out the side door. As it hits the ground and the door is shut closed, we see everybody go up to the helm, the cockpit of this machine, and look around.
Does anybody know how to start it?
I search a nearby body of one of the red caps. See if I can find a coin.
And I look under like the visor, like they always do in movies. Mm-hmm.
And Thea hops out and grabs the immovable rod.
Good call. Immovable rod moved, bodies looted. You find a total of 7 soul coins from various creatures and positions hidden within. Did you want to do something with those soul coins, or you were just looking to find?
Yeah, I'll start looking around with Flynn at the front and see if there's anything I can do with these bad mamma jammas.
They resonate in your hand, and there's this painful ring that kind of hits your ears as you see them. Flint, you see a coin slot on the dashboard that looks like it's the perfect size for one of these soul coins.
Let's give it a shot.
I flip Flint a coin.
Coin's flipped. Flint slides it in, and the engine roars to life as it screams out across the landscape. It begins to roll towards the watchtowers at the River Styx. Dungeons & Dragons, Season 2, Episode 137, starring Amy Moore as Thea and Nighthunter, Carla Maxted as Lipsinky, Tom Laird as Flint, with Kyle Classett as Varanox and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Dialogue editing by Carla Maxted and sound design by Russ Moore.
This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and Art List, and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. And a huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Craig Zeiss, Aaron Stevens, Perry Mady, Kayla Littlejohn, L.A. Branton, Old School Gamer D, Nathaniel Teeter, Destiny Garcia, and Ryan Carr. Join us today at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast and receive hundreds, literal hundreds of hours of bonus content, hangouts with the cast, and a whole lot more. You have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. You've just... What's the word I'm looking for?
Descended. Hurled yourself hurled down yourself. The brambly
that's
bony
stealthy.
Hill.
Yeah.
All right.
What fucking level am I? 18? Okay, cool. I can remember.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.